I guess home, we sung the words, "Did you notice there, and grace will lead me home." That must have meant a lot to Don Newton. Remember, he'd been the slave trader, and he had a mum at home who was praying for him. And God turned his life around, and he came home. And one day he was going to go home to be in heaven forever. That word home must have meant a lot to him. And kind of reminds me of my own father's story a little bit. My father was a seaman during the Second World War. He had a grandmother who prayed for him. And my dad and I had the joy of being baptized together. He came to know Christ and walk with Christ, and a grandmother who reached by her prayers down through the generations. And God used her prayers through the generations. Would you never slow down, never give up in your prayers for your children and for your grandchildren? Keep praying. God is a faithful God. Let's turn to his word. We'll take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3. And if you'd have your bulletin open, there's only a few verses outside Peter that we'll be using today, but you might like to keep on track, keep awake by filling in those blanks as we move through too. Well, there's obviously a lot of people traveling today. It is Mother's Day. Let's, as we open in prayer here, before the message, let's just pray for them too. Lord, we do pray for our brothers and sisters that are missing today. We do miss them when brothers and sisters are away. And we pray for them, Lord. We pray that you'd keep them safe on the roads. And we pray, Lord, that that time with mothers would be sweet. We pray that they'd be able to worship together. And now, Lord, as we come to your word, we pray that you would open it out to us, husbands and wives today, and those that are without partners, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them also. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we have done a series over the years called Our Home, and we keep coming back to it, and I'm determined to do a bit more on the home this year. We have a lot of young families, and we want to bring help to you from the word of God. God has the answers. But Nolan and I have been greatly blessed of God. When I take time to stop and think about it and think what I was and what Christ did for me, it brings tears to my eyes. God's grace is abundant and God's grace is generous. Despite what I was, I've been greatly blessed. And we're going to say, praise God. It's all grace. Nolan and I have a wonderful relationship. God has been our help to have a deeply satisfying relationship with him and with each other. That's my story. And I like to hear the stories of couples. I like to hear how God has saved people. And I like to hear how God has brought people together and made their lives one, saved them. I realize that my service to God is different because I'm married to Nolan. I know my Christian walk and my service to him is enhanced by her. For example, it's been a journey for me to learn to love people. I was deeply hurt by kids at school, in my primary years and in my teenage years, and I withdrew from people. Nolan has been a major part of my growth to learn to love people. And today I can move toward people. I can genuinely love people that others tend to stay away from. What I'm saying is, God knows what he's doing when he brings two lives together and makes them one. God streams two lives into one. Every husband and wife have some things in common. Those things kind of attracted them to each other. But every husband and wife has some differences too. We all have our needs, but God flows those two rivers of life together and makes them a mightier river than either would have been alone. I pray that you as couples can enjoy an intimacy with God together that Nolan and I have. Only I pray that you can have it more so. I pray especially for the younger couples that you would get this early, may you have a special intimacy with God together in your relationship. May you be improvements on the old models. We need to know how to get there, how to have that intimacy with God together. We need to recognize that God has a special plan for each couple, and as couples, we need to discover that plan together. Isn't intimacy with God together something that you long for? I realize I'm speaking to a diverse group today. First, I'm speaking to those who would like to be married, or maybe those who'd like to be remarried. As you move through the scripture today, you'll see that intimacy with God depends on us being equally yoked together. So to the unmarried, I would say, if you want to be married, choose a partner who loves God like you do. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, brothers and sisters, if you are not yet married or wanting to be remarried, make sure those who you marry are Christians. And make sure that they love God as much as you do, because if they are a lukewarm believer, that is an unequal yoke, just as marrying someone who is unsaved is an unequal yoke. If you're unmarried, that's what I really want you to learn as we move through these scriptures today. Be praying for that godly partner in the years ahead, and parents, be praying for your children. I realize that I may be speaking to a married man or a married woman that longs for their partner to be more spiritually than they already are. And you may be saying in your heart today as I move through the message, amen, yes, that's what I want, but what can I do? My partner is just not interested. Well, to you who long for your partner to be more than they are, let me say that I've prayed for you much during the week. If you're in a marriage and you know that your spouse has a much greater desire for God than you do, stop quenching the Holy Spirit. Stop thwarting the work of God in your life. Listen to the scripture today. Delight in God. Delight your spouse and delight God by moving toward Him and being a spiritual man and being a spiritual woman, loving God with all your heart and soul and strength. I realize that I may be talking to couples today who are living for God, each of them individually living for God, but they haven't had that intimacy with God together as a team. They love God, but they just haven't been able to enjoy that closeness together before God. Would you hold hands today and really seek to God together? For a threefold cord is not easily broken. Whether I'm speaking to the yet-to-be-married or the already-married, we need to have that desire to have an intimacy with God together. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 teaches there are four wonderful ingredients that it will help us to enjoy intimacy with God together. Four wonderful ingredients. The first wonderful ingredient to enable us to have intimacy with God together is time to understand. Time to understand. The Christian life could be summarized as a glad submission to authority. That wouldn't be a bad summary of the Christian life, a glad submission to authority. It begins when a man turns from his sin and he turns to God, who is that ultimate authority, and he says, Lord, I want you to rule my life. And he submits to God's ultimate authority. A man who has gladly submitted to God will have no trouble to submitting to lesser authorities on earth. That's the teaching of Paul, and that's the teaching of Peter, exactly parallel, of course, because they were both moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, as an example, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Why would Peter command that servants be submissive even to harsh masters? Well, verse 25 of chapter 2 says, for you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In other words, Peter is saying, employees, do what your employer asks of you, even if he is not a good employer. Why? Because you have turned from the rebellion and going your own way. You've turned to God. You've submitted to God. Now also submit to the lesser authorities. It's in this context of authority and submission that both Paul and Peter introduce the subject of marriage. As Peter introduces marriage, he speaks first to the wives in chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and then to the husbands in verse 7. And I want to concentrate on verse 7 this morning, but let's put this in context. So we'll start at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." Dear wives, he is saying to them, dear wives, you are to submit. When you do, when you submit in that way, you can win an unsaved man. When you submit in that way, you can win a man who is lukewarm for God. Some other things that are also given in verse 2. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Chaste refers to purity. Purity in the fear of God is simply basic. Both men and women have to be pure in the fear of God. Verse 3 continues, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God," and I might say very precious in the sight of a husband too. Now, there is nothing wrong with looking pretty. That's fine. And it may be necessary. But looking pretty cannot be your focus. A Christian woman does not focus on externals. A Christian woman focuses on internals, especially a gentle and quiet attitude, humble and peaceable. Verse 5 continues, "For in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." Now, Peter recognizes that women that determine to submit to their husband might fear that their husband is going to mistreat them and is going to walk all over them. But her submission is not so much to her husband. Her submission is primarily to God. And she can trust God that He is in control and that He will do the right things in her life. She can trust Him, and therefore she can do good, which in this case refers to submission, and not be afraid with any terror because her trust is in God. Yes, the wife has her part to play, but all responsibility for the relationship comes back to the husband. And that's where we need to concentrate today. If there is a problem in the relationship, it is the husband who is responsible before God. So the responsibility for the unity and the intimacy of the one flesh relationship falls to him. If there's a problem in your relationship, men, God holds you responsible. This is how Peter explains it, verse 7. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, though your prayers may not be hindered." Now, I'm going to divide that verse into four parts. First of all, dwell with them with understanding. Secondly, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Thirdly, as being heirs together of the grace of life, and four, that your prayers may not be hindered. And of course, the first of those four divisions of our message today is, men, dwell with your wives with understanding. Verse 7 says, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding." You hear men say, "I don't understand women." Well, the scripture here is not asking us to understand women. The scripture here is asking us to understand our wives. If I am to understand my wife, it seems to me that I need to bring three things to that situation. If I'm to understand my wife, I need to bring time. If I am to understand my wife, I'm to bring the capacity to listen to her. And if I'm to understand my wife, I also see that I need to be able to ask questions when I don't understand. Because sometimes, ladies, us men are thick as bricks. We don't understand. We need your help. Those three requirements are all challenging. All three requirements. Learning to listen, to really hear someone and what they're saying can be very challenging. James 1:19, Proverbs is full of it, but we look at James 1:19, it says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Well, why does he say it that way? Because we tend to be slow to hear, swift to speak, swift to wrath. Our natural tendency is exactly the opposite. We've got to work hard at hearing. And then secondly, learning how to ask the right questions can also be very challenging. Proverbs 20 and verse 15 says, counsel in the heart of a man, or in the heart of a woman, is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. A man of understanding is able to draw out what is in the other person's heart. Now, this is a life skill, to be able to draw out what is in someone's heart. A paraphrase says of the same verse, someone's thoughts may be as deep as the ocean, but if you're smart, you'll discover them. Asking gentle, piercing, deep questions is often necessary to understand each other. And the ability to do that is a life skill. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, counsel in the heart of a man or a woman is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. We need to draw out each other so that we can understand. So, both listening and asking questions both depend on time. And one of the most difficult stages in life to find time as husbands and wives is when we have toddlers. For Nolan and I, that was sometimes the only time we could find was in the car together or late at night. And of course, late at night isn't always the best time to be talking to each other when we tend to be tired and a little bit short or snappy. But after our tragedies in Africa, we were forced to have quiet times together just to survive, just to hold each other up, just to debrief, just to pray together. And it seemed like every scripture we read together was relevant. And there were many tears in those days. We were so blessed by that spiritual intimacy together that we just never stopped. Until that time, we'd had separate quiet times. And we might be considering a certain matter, and I would go away and pray, and Nolan would go away and pray. And we come to different conclusions. How can that be? Isn't the same Spirit of God speaking to both of us? Well, that's difficult, coming to different conclusions. But it was much better to pray through decisions together. Reading the same scriptures, interacting together, and hearing each other's heartbeat attuned me to where Nolan was. And, of course, attuned Nolan to where I was. I was closer to dwelling with her, with understanding. One author says, some Christian couples never speak to each other about the Lord. They never speak to each other about spiritual matters in general. Deliberately, he says, ask each other questions like, what has God been showing you in your quiet times lately? Or has God placed a burden on your heart as you've prayed to him? Or, I saw you listening to the sermon in very, very intently today. What were you thinking about? What was God saying to you? He says, I also found my spouse the best person for me to share God's work in my life. As I relate what I've been hearing God say, my wife recognizes things that I've missed. Together we hear far more from God than we do separately. So, would you go home and review? Think about the way God was leading you before you were married. And then think about the way how God led you together. And those years since you've been married, how has God been leading in that stream? If God has led you to serve him over the years and you're approaching retirement, is it time to buy golf clubs? Is it time to go on holidays and travel? Or is it time to put heart and soul into serving God? Isn't that the way he's been leading you all through the years? Now you really have time for him. Seek God's leading as a couple. And that can become clearer as you review the way God has been leading both of you over the years. Take time to understand each other, to see each other's heart, to understand each other's burdens and longings. What joy there is in hearing from God together and spiritual intimacy together. It takes time to understand each other and the journey. The second wonderful ingredient to enable us to have intimacy with God together is an attitude of respect. An attitude of respect. Men, you may be the leader, and remember, if you are the leader, you are, God says you are, your authority, your leadership is under God's authority. You're going to have to answer to God one day for the way you lead. Okay, so you may be a leader yourself, but you better have an attitude of respect to what you hear as you take time to try and understand your wife. Verse 7 says, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel. It doesn't say she is the weaker vessel. It says you are to give honour to her as if she is the weaker vessel. Now, when I think of a weaker vessel, I think of something like a wine glass. And how do you handle a wine glass? Definitely different to the way that you handle other vessels. It's handled with some patience and some delicacy. And a wine glass is beautiful but delicate, and so you have to handle it gently and patiently. Now, you may handle your wheelie bin, which is another kind of vessel, with some roughness and impatience, but you better not handle a wine glass that way. Otherwise, you aren't going to have the wine glass for very long. The key word is honor. Respect. Let me read those words again. Giving honour to the wife as to the weaker vessel. Honour, to honour your wife means that you see her as valuable. She is precious to you. You respect what she says. You esteem her opinion. You can ride roughshod over what she says. You can ride roughshod over it impatiently, what she says and thinks, but you won't have her heart for long. It's like that wine glass. It needs to be handled with kindness and respect. You as men are responsible for the intimacy with God that you can enjoy together. That means you need to be leading in those times with God together. You need to be understanding her, and you need to be holding her opinion in high esteem. That's what it says here. Honor your wife. And wives, though your husband is responsible for this, it ought to be your heart also to understand him. And obviously respect, show great respect to his opinion and what he says. Do you write stuff down in your quiet times? Nolan and I don't do that all that often, but earlier this year we were studying the scripture together and we wrote, Lord, help us to know each other and each other's heartbeat by regular spiritual focus together. Lord, thank you for leading us. It's you when we get it right. That same quiet time we wrote down to deliberately ask each other about spiritual burdens. And we certainly get to hear each other's spiritual burdens as we pray together. One pastor records, at times someone says to me, I want to go forward with God, but my wife is unwilling to come with me. Should I go on without her? His response is, you are one flesh. You cannot leave your spouse behind. You've got to keep working and encouraging them in spiritual things. Others have said to him, my wife clearly senses that God wants us to be more involved in missions, but I haven't heard anything from God or God saying anything to me. His response to that is, you are one flesh. If God spoke to your spouse, he has also spoken to you. Because you are one flesh, you need to hear what God is saying to your spouse. You need to be sharing those scriptures together. You need to be sharing those burdens in prayer together. Pray together and trust the Holy Spirit to bring clarity and assurance about the direction that he is calling you together, and then walk together in service to God with confidence. Now, this comes from respecting what your partner thinks and loves and is burdened for. Seek to move together in obeying God. There is a beautiful intimacy in this that satisfies the human heart. The third wonderful ingredient to enable us to have intimacy with God together is living in unity. Number one, understand each other. Number two, respect each other. And number three, live in unity. This is how Peter says it in verse 7. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. And as being heirs together of the grace of life. That word together reminds us of our theme that we're talking about intimacy with God together. Verse 7 is written, of course, to husbands. The whole of verse 7 is command to husbands, but a command to husbands that they might be responsible for the entire relationship together. But verse 7 also brings God into the picture. Let's read that verse, that part again. As being heirs together of the grace of life. Now, heirs together looks forward to heaven. And that brings God into the picture. And the grace of life looks back to the past to salvation. And that brings God into the picture. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The grace from God that enabled us to have faith was the same grace for life that enabled us to have eternal life. And eternal life does not begin when we die. Eternal life begins at the point we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, as it says in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has, that means right now, has everlasting life. So Christian husbands and wives are heirs together of the grace of life. If they are Christians, they are Christians together. They have received the grace to be saved, and they will one day inherit heaven together. They are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Peter spoke of this inheritance together a little bit earlier in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. First Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance, we're heirs together, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's how most commentators understand that phrase, heirs together of the grace of life. But John MacArthur has a different twist on this, and he's a significant commentator, so let me read what he says. He says, here the grace of life is not salvation or future inheritance, which we've just been saying it is. He says, but marriage, the best relationship on earth has to offer. The husband must cultivate companionship with his wife, Christians or not. So he's saying that if the husband is a Christian and the wife is a Christian, they are heirs together in this life of marriage. Well, either way, heirs together of the grace of life does emphasize that there ought to be a unity together in Christian marriage. Those who understand and respect each other surely are going to live and serve God together in unity. The whole of life cannot be lived in a quiet time together, but the quiet time ought to be a special part, a highlight of each day. One couple had separate ministries over the years. The husband served in the church as a deacon. The wife went on mission trips. After several years, the wife finally convinced her husband to go with her on a mission trip. And he was overwhelmed by the experience. He said in tears to his wife, now I understand what you've been talking about all this time. They had missed the joy of serving God together. Those who are heirs of the grace of life together ought to be serving God together in unity. God led you to your spouse for a reason. Now, the most important part of that reason is to produce a godly seed. God wants a godly seed, children that love him with all their heart and soul, a godly seed. But also, he led us to your partner because there is a world out there, an ungodly world that needs God, and he wants you to minister to that godless world together. Steve Moro is going to come soon and tell us how we can help on short-term mission trips in Asia. That's coming up the beginning of June. But here at home, you could lead Awana together, or you could teach Sunday school together. You could certainly do hospitality together. Over the years, I've been convinced that hospitality is one of the most beautiful of Christian ministries, to have people into your home and share with them in your home. What about hosting a Bible study in your home? How is God leading you as a couple? Nolene and I love visiting people together. We have many widows, some widowers, people that would just love you to come to have them into their home, for one thing, but to come to their home and minister to them together. Maybe the husband can be fixing something while the wife shares some prayer with them, whatever. But you can minister to minister together. Turn off the box, will you? Drop that secular hobby or sport and take time. You say, I haven't got time for all this service together. Well, we've got time for what we want. If we really want to do something, we find time for it. Turn off the box. Ditch that secular hobby or activity and serve God together. This is so sweet, brother and sister. It's bonding. It enhances your relationship, for a threefold cord is not easily broken. The final wonderful ingredient to enable us to have intimacy with God together is praying together. The end of verse 7 says that your prayers may not be hindered. Praying together is assumed that your prayers, it's not a command, it's just a statement, that your prayers may not be hindered. Praying together is assumed. If a man will understand his wife, if he will respect her, if he will live and serve together with her in unity, then their prayer together will not be hindered. That's the point of these words. If husband and wives are going through the motions of prayer together without really understanding each other, without that respect for each other, without that unity in life and service, then the prayers are somewhat hypocritical and will certainly be hindered. Unhindered prayer is the result of getting the first three right. The first three things that we've been talking about and you've written down on your sheet. It's the result of getting those right. Albert Barnes, who died 150 years ago, commented on this phrase here, that your prayers may not be hindered. And he said, it is fairly implied here that there would be family or united prayer. It is plainly supposed that united prayer would be one thing that would characterize a Christian husband and wife living together. He does not direct that there should be prayer. He seems to take it for granted that there would be prayer. The head of the family does not have to ask whether he must establish family worship. He does it as one of the spontaneous fruits of new life. In other words, this bloke Albert Barnes is saying, just because we're saved and we realize what we have in Christ, we want to have family worship. We want to have prayer together. As I've hinted already, prayer together is a way of understanding each other, respecting what the other person says, hearing their burdens, seeking God's will together. But this is not rote and informal, just going through a prayer time. This is with deep joys and deep tears. Intimacy with God together is one of the pure joys of life. And sadly, it's one of the best kept secrets in the mountains in 2013. This is a secret, brother and sister, we've got to get out. We've got to live. We've got to enjoy. Let's pray. Father, there is a togetherness in prayer as a church family also. And we would draw together to you in prayer now. And we would say, Lord, oh, it is our burden to have a closeness with you and a closeness with each other that blesses our lives and blesses our children and blesses our grandchildren. Lord, we want our family to be impacted by you. And so, Lord, we choose as couples to draw together now. For those that are unmarried and wanting to be married, I'm praying for them, Lord, that they would realize they must choose partners who love you the way they love you. Lord, help them to be committed to that. We pray with them for their future partner, that they be a man or a woman of God that they can walk with all the days of their life. Lord, thank you. Help us to love one another and serve each other, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.